If you are building or remodeling, windows are an important part of your project to keep the weather out and bring the view in from the outside. Before you decide, visit the Pello Window Showroom. There you can see a wide variety of styles and types of windows. Visit with a specialist who can help you find the right one for your home and budget. Pello Window Showroom backs what they sell with award-winning service. That's the Pello Window Showroom at 1001 North Country Fair Drive in Champaign. Or visit them at PellaOfChampaign.com.
Clear skies tonight, low 21. Tomorrow, sunny early, cloudy late, high 40. Into the weekend, 30% chance for some flurries or some rain sprinkles, and we'll see highs in the 40s this weekend. Remember, we spring forward. The clock's 1 hour on Sunday. 33 now at 5:10. Breaking news 24/7 at WDWS.com. I'm Tim Dittman, DWS News.
And good evening. Welcome into Sports Talk on a Thursday. I'm Michael Kaiser alongside Matt Daniels. We're live from Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Scotty's located at 2001 South Neal. Be sure to get out here. Of course, conference tournament action going on right now. Plenty of games on to watch. Next week, don't forget, the NCAA tournament kicks off. This will be a watch party every day of the tournament here at Scotty's Brewhouse. And starting next Thursday, Matt Daniels, 12 wings for $12 when there's a tournament game on for the NCAA tournament. I can get with that.
Sounds right up your alley, Michael.
Yeah, it does. Wings are pretty good, so it's a pretty good deal here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Plenty of TVs to watch as well, instead of setting up multiple TVs at home, because the games are on the four channels, I think.
That's the one time a year where everyone gets to know where a true TV is.
Yeah.
On their cable package.
I don't remember what it is right now. I got to find out. I forget every year. Look that up, but they'll all be on right here. So you don't have to find the channels at home. You can come right out here to Scotty's Brewhouse, get some food and some drinks, and watch all the NCAA tournament games getting underway next Thursday. Give us a call tonight, 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Listen live at WDWS.com. Coming up at 5:20, we're talking spring football. The Illini football team has got two practices under their belt this week. Martin O'Donnell's going to join us, former Illini. Remember that Rose Bowl team, now a radio analyst with us. Then at 5:40, we'll switch over to high school basketball. Jeff Finke will join us. His season just wrapped up two nights ago in overtime. Double.
Yeah, heartbreaking loss for Champaign Central in a sectional semifinal game over at Decatur Eisenhower. Lost 71-69 to Springfield Landfair in double overtime. Had a late lead there in regulation, but couldn't close it out. But Jeff's always a good source, not only for high school basketball, but Illinois basketball and everything else that's going on in the basketball world.
We'll talk to Jeff about his squad, talk to him about his son Tim heading out to Grand Canyon next year, his son Michael at Illinois. His fifth year coming up next year here at the University of Illinois, redshirted his first season. Well, the big news of the day for the University of Illinois, the feasibility study, no really surprises there in terms of the university being interested and excited about this. And they've spoken many times, many officials over there, that they want hockey. They would like to see it happen. Need some money. The one thing that did come out today that caught my eye was the downtown facility, the downtown location is the one that the university wants if they're able to get a hockey program.
Yeah, that's what the feasibility study came back with as their recommendation, and the athletic department at the University of Illinois agreed with that assessment, and we'll see what that does for the project moving forward. I know there was a potential to add an arena out here on campus where kind of the other athletic venues are, but the downtown facility seems to kind of want out there, and now it's just a matter of trying to find funding for adding the sport to the University of Illinois. And if it does come to fruition, I believe 2021, that school year would be the first year that hockey would be here at Illinois as an independent, and then they would transition into Big Ten play in the 2021-2022 school year. But a lot has to happen between now and then, and the main form of it is just, like you said, Michael, kind of finding the funding for it.
If they were to make the announcement now, then that timeline within would kick in. But it just depends on how long it takes to get enough donations. Here's Josh Whitman earlier this afternoon talking about the kind of donations that are needed to get a hockey program going here at the University of Illinois.
People have asked us that, and I don't know that we've put out there a firm number on what it has to be. Certainly it's in the tens of millions of dollars. I think it's probably north of $50 million. Where you get into some gray areas, if we're able to raise $45 million, are we going to walk away from it? I don't know. But it's a big number. It certainly is, as I said, probably one of the more ambitious projects we've ever undertaken. So I'd say it's north of 50. I think it's probably a little lower than what Penn State had raised. But it's been exciting to be out and talk to people about the project. I think that people understand what the opportunity is, and they're excited about what hockey could look like here at the University of Illinois and about what the benefits of that program would be, but also the benefits of a new facility for volleyball, for wrestling, for gymnastics would be for those programs and also for our community.
Yeah, upwards of $50 million or more just to get it going. And you heard him say there, Matt, that if they were able to reach $45 million in commitments from donors who were, again, their money would be focused on hockey. This money would not be taken away from other sports. This would be donations strictly for hockey. He said, I don't know if we'd walk away if it's only $45 million, but it's clear they have to have a certain number of dollars and donations committed to make this project happen, to even really get started on it.
Yeah, exactly. And you're lining that up with not only hockey trying to be added to Illinois, but the new football performance center is being constructed right now. You'd have to think that some upgrades to the Ubbin basketball complex will have to take place in the next few years. And Illinois Field, the home for the Illinois baseball team, is in need of some upgrades as well. But the key aspect of it, too, that was kind of mentioned as well today is that, and Josh Whitman touched on it briefly there, but that volleyball, wrestling, and gymnastics would all be moved to this downtown facility as well. So that, you know, I'm sure people want to see volleyball and wrestling and gymnastics possibly stay at Huff Hall, just because of the historic tradition of that venue on the University of Illinois campus. But this may be an opportunity that may be too good to pass up. So some changes might be coming on the University of Illinois athletic scene.
We'll see how long that takes. Josh wants to see how long it takes to get the money in and go from there. We're at Sports Talk here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Right now, Scotty's Brewhouse, the perfect craft beer sports bar with 36 beers on tap and 64 large screen TVs to watch every game again of the NCAA tournament starting next week. And again, one more time, starting next Thursday through Sunday, 12 wings for $12 here at Scotty's Brewhouse during the NCAA tournament. We're going to take a timeout, switch over to Illini football. Martin O'Donnell is going to join us. Spring practice is underway. Get his thoughts on the roster, how things are looking. That's coming up next here at Sports Talk on a Thursday at Scotty's Brewhouse. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on a Thursday at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Another Thursday special here at Scotty's Brewhouse. $4 pints and $10 Bud Light pitchers. Join us here. Plenty of TVs. Again, 64 large screen TVs. A lot of conference tournaments going on across college basketball. Former Illini coach Bruce Weber got a win today in overtime over TCU. A really tight matchup there. 66-64 for Bruce Weber on his way to his fourth NCAA tournament since leaving Champaign. We're going to switch over to Illini football now. Former Illini Martin O'Donnell, part of the Rose Bowl team, now a radio analyst with Brian Barnhart. Martin, how you been doing?
Living the dream, Michael. Yeah. Living the dream. Every day.
Oh, yeah. That's usually your thing, living
the
dream.
Sure.
That's good.
Sure.
Yeah. It's good way to look at it. Well, it's spring practice got started this week. Only two practices in. Not a lot you can learn. Only one quarterback. Being an offensive lineman, being in these spring practices, how difficult is it to really practice with only one scholarship quarterback? Obviously, there are walk-ons mm-hmm. to kind of fill those other roles. But is that really difficult to really have a full, efficient practice?
No, I think the biggest challenge that they're going to have right now on the offensive side is just install. I mean, they're learning a new offense, and so there's just a lot of learning there. They're going to put a certain amount of it, of the plays in, you know, every practice. And so they're going to go the entire spring ball without having put in the entire offense. But, you know, so I think it certainly matters because you obviously want to have, you know, 3 and 4 scholarship quarterbacks at any given time. But, you know, they have other guys there. They're going to be out there taking snaps. And certainly I think it works to, you know, Cam Thomas's advantage. I mean, he's got every opportunity to really just solidify his hold on the offense and, you know, his understanding and, you know, forming that relationship with Rod Smith, the offensive coordinator.
That's kind of wanted to get in with, like, this is a pretty rare opportunity for one quarterback basically to have mm-hmm. all eyes on him. All the coaches are watching him. He's young. He's just a freshman. Could be a lot of pressure on him, but he knows this is his time to show the coaches that he needs to be the guy.
Well, I think a lot of times people forget. I mean, it's his first spring ball,
yeah,
right? I mean,
true.
The kid just showed up on campus last summer. So, really, spring ball is a time to get back to fundamentals. There's no There's no competition at the end of it necessarily where you're really having to work up to something. They're working up to the summer, which then gets back into lifting and conditioning. So they have time to really work on fundamentals, pound those, and that's really what spring ball is for all these guys, not just the quarterbacks. It's a chance to get back to the fundamentals, and you have some new position coaches there, so guys are going to be doing things a little bit differently, but just build upon kind of a lot of those guys were thrown into the fire last year as true freshmen. It's all of their first spring ball practice. So it's get back to fundamentals. It's get reps. And with, you know, kind of the lack of depth on the roster right now, there's plenty of opportunity for reps.
What do you think of all the changes that have happened since we've last talked to you, since the 2017 season ended, as far as the changeover in staff and also the number of transfers that left the program as well?
Yeah, I think it's kind of surprising to see that many transfers. I mean, it seems like, you know, seeing it on the basketball side now too, I think transfers in general, it's hard to kind of compare, you know, now to when I was playing, just because it's so different. You know, kids view things differently. They kind of think they go into, you know, their experiences differently. Obviously, it hurts losing a lot of that depth, because while some of those guys weren't necessarily going to be starters, but at least they would vie for starting roles and provide some of that crucial depth. But I think at the same time, my view on all that stuff is always like, look, if a kid thinks it's in their best interest to go somewhere else, you know, you're not getting paid to play football at the University of Illinois. You're on scholarship, but that's not the same. Football is a difficult sport. And, you know, hey, if you want to be somewhere else and that's what's best for you ultimately, so be it. And I do like the approach of, it seems like the administration of the university not restricting kind of where these guys go, giving them, it seems to me, kind of carte blanche as far as that goes. With respect to the staff, you know, I think some of it's understandable. There always seems to be a certain amount of turnover in staffs. And after Lovey having been through two seasons, I think you're going to see some of that. I'm excited about the new offensive coordinator. I'm excited about Rod Smith. I
mean, yeah, what do you think about that move, too, just because Garrick McGee came here, took a pay cut from Louisville.
Yeah.
Lovey Smith was the key reason why he left Louisville to come to Illinois. And Lovey just kind of saw the writing on the wall. The offense wasn't going the way he wanted to, and made a change and brought in a guy who's had success. You know, he's a Rich Rodriguez disciple. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see what Rod Smith brings with his spread offense to Champaign.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I think it's going to be good in the sense that some of the core principles are going to remain somewhat the same. I mean, you want a mobile quarterback, a quarterback that can run. I think Cam Thomas and the other guys they have coming in certainly fit that role. The thing that was exciting to me is, you know, you look at some of the quarterbacks that Rod Smith has worked with over the years, and, you know, guys like Pat White and Denard Robinson, and you see a guy who maybe doesn't have the play calling experience that some people might want at the Power 5 level, but obviously, I mean, it's a complicated thing, but he's been around it. He's been around the game planning. He's had that input. And I think you look at the fact that this is a guy who has developed quarterbacks to play in this system. To me, that's exciting, having somebody with that track record.
Martin O'Donnell, John Hartstock here on a Thursday live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Michael Kaiser, Matt Daniels with you. You did lose some key guys who did leave on the defensive side of the ball, linebacker, and Patrick Nelson is a guy that stands out to me, who played a lot for 2 years and had quite a bit of tackles. The inexperience there in the secondary and linebackers, is that concerning to you?
I think I'd certainly like to see more depth. I mean, and it's always interesting where you have these spring ball periods. Your next class hasn't quite shown up yet. In the past several years, with the amount of transfers we've had, the roster size has just been really small. So, you know, I obviously, you know, guys like, you know, Trey Watson and some of those would love to have them there to compete for starting positions to provide depth. But again, at the same time, you know, Patrick Nelson did some really good things in his time here. You know, I look at it from the perspective of, if they think it's in their best interest to go somewhere else, go somewhere else and let the next guy have the opportunity. And I think that's something the coaching staff has used, is just, by and large, if you come here and you're the best guy, you're going to play regardless of class.
What's it like for a guy like a veteran on the offense, say a guy like Nick Allegretti, maybe you kind of went through something similar in your career where you had coaching changes and changed offensive philosophies, and then obviously in your final season, the offense led by Mike Locksley was – a huge reason why you guys went to the Rose Bowl outside of your outstanding pancake blocking, Martin.
Sure.
But just, what's that like for a veteran to have to adapt, you know, this late in their career at all?
You know, I think it is a challenge, but I would guess a guy like Nick Allegretti, to a certain extent for them, it's a little bit refreshing in the sense that, you know, there's mastery certainly that comes with an ideally you're in one offense for 5 years. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore. But really, it's an opportunity to just – but – you know, people look at it, and yes, you're changing offenses, but there's core fundamentals, and, you know, every offense in football, to a certain extent, speaks the same language. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of figuring out the verbiage in particular and some of those aspects. I mean, every play that Rod Smith is going to have in his playbook, there is an equivalent in Garrick McGee's offense. And so it's a matter of kind of translating that. I think you have to lean on your leaders even more then, because they're the guys that are going to have to kind of connect the dots for some of these younger guys. But at the same time, I think one of the, it could be a positive in that, you know, if Rod Smith's offense is a little bit more simplified in some aspects, I think that can allow the younger players to just play faster and not have to worry about, you know, kind of checks A, B, C, and D, but rather just, okay, here, you know, I'm A and B, and I'm going.
The offensive line was really young last season. As the season wore on, you had three true freshmen and one redshirt freshman, Alex Belcheski, Larry Boyd. Mm-hmm. Usually you like to redshirt your offensive linemen, and as you know, those guys got a lot of reps last year. How big of a deal is that for moving forward now they've played a lot already?
Yeah, I think it means a lot. You have guys that otherwise, you know, if you redshirt them, then they're just redshirt freshmen without experience this year. But really, these guys, you know, on the heck on this roster, they might as well be considered upperclassmen because they have a lot of experience out there. And I think certainly what it does is it provides – the first time you get out there, I mean, it provides motivation for that offseason because you know where the bar is. You know where you have to be. You know, these guys got punched in the mouth a little bit at times, and, you know, they did some punching. But really what it does is – having that experience informs technique and it informs work in the weight room in the off season, and I think gives guys more of a purpose of saying, look, you know, some of these guys, okay, I'm going to have to be ready to play this fall. It is happening. What do I need to do to really make myself ready? And I think, you know, Luke Butkus is certainly going to be hammering that home as well. And the good thing, too, is, hey, these guys have film of them out there playing against Big Ten competition, and so they can really analyze that and dig into that and learn from that.
Yeah, having the entire off season to mentally prepare. You know, most of those guys got here in the summer. Mm-hmm. That's a very short time. You're talking a couple months before training camp starts. Now they have from the end of the season all the way until training camp.
Yeah, well, they to mentally prepare and then, again, physically prepare too, because you get Joey Bose and the strength and conditioning staff there. So much of this roster had never been through a college strength and conditioning program. There's only so much you can do in the summer with new guys or when guys show up in the fall. But really, that offseason, that's the time, you know, that's prime time for the strength and conditioning staff. You know, that's where guys can really make gains in strength, because sometimes it's really not a matter of knowledge or you know, technique, really. A lot of times it just becomes a matter of strength as well, because you're playing against guys in the Big Ten that are, you know, bigger, stronger, and faster than you, in some cases 4 or 5 years older. So if you can kind of narrow that gap a little bit in an offseason, it certainly pays a lot of dividends the next time you step on the field.
Mikey Dudek comes back, Ricky Smalling, some key skill guys back on offense. How much can that help a young quarterback like Cam Thomas, who right now is the guy back there?
Yeah, I think it'll help a lot. I mean, I think we saw last year, you know, the offense struggled, I think they found a go-to play where he basically just throwing a back shoulder fade to Ricky Smalling. You throw it up to Ricky Smalling, he's going to find it, right? You get a guy like Mike Dudek in the slot, you know, still probably one of the fastest players on the team. Incredibly sure hands, getting him back. I mean, you have a couple of security blankets out there for Cam Thomas. I think that helps a lot. What I would expect to see from this offense is putting him in more situations to be successful. Mm-hmm. You know, quick throws, wide receiver screens, you know, slants, all kinds of stuff like that to build his confidence. Get it the ball in the hands of the playmakers, which Illinois does have some of those guys on offense. Let them make a guy miss and then just go.
Year three historically here at Illinois, at least in the last 20 years, has always been the year that it's kind of either turned the corner or not. Ron Turner took him to a bowl game. Ron Zook, Rose Bowl. Tim Beckman, Heart of Dallas Bowl in 2014. Sure. Is year three for Levy a fair assessment at all, given his time frame and he was only hired here 2 years ago and one day?
I think the timeline is a little bit different, given the fact there's not three full recruiting classes there, and given, you know, some of the state of the program and, again, some of the turnover. But I think you absolutely expect to see a lot of improvement this fall. I want this team to be playing one possession games in the fourth quarter against our peers in the Big Ten West in particular. I think that's just going to be really important moving forward. And I think the pieces certainly are there. It's just a matter of getting them to work cohesively together. I really think one of the biggest keys, obviously, for this entire team is what do you get out of the quarterback play? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that quarterback can hide a lot of deficiencies on offense. But if you have a quarterback that can go out there, extend plays, make things happen, it's going to – I mean, you watch college football. College football is offense, right? And if you don't have offense, it's really hard to win in college football. It's just that simple.
What was it like for you as a player watching the development of Juice Williams? And do you see any similarities maybe at all between him and Cam Thomas at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime too many times people expect the world out of guys as soon as they step on campus. Yeah. I mean – Cam Thomas in the ideal world was not having to play last year. He would have had a chance to redshirt. He would have had a chance to learn the system, sit out, get more physically mature. But I thought for what he did out there, I thought he did a nice job. And to equate him to Juice, I mean, you know, Juice certainly went through a lot of struggles too. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the stats recently, but you know, I don't think there were Juice certainly had more touchdowns because he played a lot more. But you know, at the same time, Juice was having to be spelled in 2006 by Tim Brayson. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was a lot of, you know, ebb and flow there. So I think anytime you have a true freshman quarterback playing, what I look at is, does the kid look totally overwhelmed? Does he look like he belongs physically at that level? And, you know, there's going to be mental mistakes. And so I think you certainly saw some mental mistakes from Cam Thomas last year. But I looked at him and I said, that's a Big Ten athlete. That's a kid that can play quarterback in the Big Ten and be successful. He just has to develop like everybody on the roster.
Martin O'Donnell joining us on Sports Talk. Michael Kizer, Matt Daniels with you here from Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Reminder, next week is the watch party. Begins the watch party every day of the NCAA tournament. And starting next Thursday as well, 12 wings for $12 during the NCAA tournament. You mentioned the being competitive in one possession games in the fourth quarter. Quarterback issues were the problem last year.
Among others.
Played four quarterbacks. Cam Miller scored a touchdown against the Buckeyes. That was a great moment. But you're going to have those other quarterbacks coming in this summer. Mm-hmm. Is it realistic to think either one of those guys, Caron Taylor, Mitchell Robinson, or N.J. Rivers, can help early in training camp or even the season? If Cam Thomas isn't playing well.
I think one of them is going to have to help during the season. I mean, because Cam Thomas certainly is going to be in pole position. And if things work out the way you want them to work out, then he's there the entire season. But, you know, as we saw last year, you go in with Chase Crouch. Well, that doesn't last all that long. And then you're having to play three and four quarterbacks. So I think at a minimum, one of those incoming freshman quarterbacks is probably going to end camp as the number two. And it's just the law of averages, whether Cam Thomas is struggling or not, it's guys are going to get banged up, and the next guy is going to have to contribute. As to their individual abilities, I mean, I have no idea. I haven't seen these guys play. I think that's one of the fun things to watch in fall camp. You know, Cam Thomas was a kid in fall camp last year. I said, wow, this kid's a lot better than I – you know, I didn't really have any expectations, but I'm like, hey, this kid looks pretty good. Certainly one of those guys, at least one of those guys, is going to have to contribute. But I think if the coaching staff had their way, my guess is you have a guy that can be number two, push Cam Thomas. You know, really you kind of get those guys going, have a chance to redshirt at least one of the other guys. And again, because what Illinois has to do now is it has to restagger the position from, you know, from an eligibility standpoint in terms of getting back on track at the quarterback position. Because again, sitting here in spring ball, one scholarship quarterback, not ideal at all.
Does this team need a fifth-year transfer quarterback? Brandon Dawkins is leaving Arizona. Rod Smith was his offensive coordinator.
I think it would certainly help. Yeah, absolutely. I think any fifth-year transfer would certainly help. I mean, there's positives and negatives to all that. I mean, it all depends on, is it the right guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, the guy you mentioned, you know, makes a lot of sense. Played for Rod Smith, all those things. And, you know, I think certainly what that quarterback room is missing right now certainly is an upperclassman presence. And I think there's a lot to be said for that in terms of, how do you prepare for a game? You know, how do you approach different things? You know, how do you learn an offense? You know, this is Cam Thomas' first time learning another offense in college. I think getting a fifth-year transfer at any position could be helpful. Again, you don't want to go too far down that path, but I think given where Illinois' roster is right now and, you know, the issues that they have, I mean, I think all those things are certainly welcome. I'd imagine they're exploring all possibilities.
Not saying a Rose Bowl is in Illinois' future next year, but Martin, you know as well as anyone coming off a 2-10 season what the next season can be like. What was the mindset of you and your teammates like going into that 07 season where maybe a lot of people weren't expecting a lot out of you guys, and did you use that as motivation, chip on your shoulder, though, all those good cliches?
Yeah, cliches abound. No question about it. Cliches abound. I think there comes a point in life where you get beat up enough and you kind of get kicked in the teeth and you decide you want to start kicking some people in the teeth. And to be honest, that's kind of what it takes is it takes the upperclassmen to just kind of say enough. I mean, we were fortunate. We had a large fifth-year senior class, fourth-year senior class, you know, that in 2007. And that's really what it takes. I mean, and that's going on right now. That's the stuff you see in spring ball. I expect Illinois to go to a bowl game every year. I mean, I look at the schedule all the time. I'm the kind of person, I craft a narrative. I say, okay, well, if we do ABC, I said, I think we're going to be in a really good position to get where we want to go, which is bowl eligibility every single year. I certainly think that's possible in 2018. I think you look at the schedule. I think you look at where the conference is. And I think if you have to project growth on the current roster. I mean, that's what Lovie Smith and his coaches are here for. It's to develop guys. We saw that with a lot of guys last year. Tyner Oliver, Bennett Williams. I mean, some of these other guys make – Stanley Green.
Lewis Dorsey.
All these guys, right. Yep. Guys making leaps from week one, year one to year two, from week one to week 12. I think that's what we – that's what I expect to see. And I expect to be surprised by guys. You know, and that's the fun part of college football.
Do you wish there was a spring game this year? There's an open practice, third straight year without an actual spring game.
No. What do you gain from a spring game? I don't know what you gain from it. It's a scrimmage. You know, that's fine.
They fill the stadiums at other places for the spring game.
We're working on the regular season. Okay? Yeah. First things first. We're getting there.
Well, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about the hire of Cordy Patterson. Obviously, there were several hires this offseason. But what was your take on it? Some people thought it was great. Some people thought, well, we need a more experienced guy. My take was, you got to roll the dice right now. You got to take risks because what has been going on has not been working for the last several years, even before Lovie, obviously. You need to try something different. There's a lot of really good high school football players in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Not going to get all of them. Any kid out of there yesterday, and Illinois wasn't on the list. But did you like that hire?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I think it makes all the sense in the world. I think on a couple of different fronts. One, that's where college football has been for a while. Illinois hasn't really played that game necessarily, but when you have coaches that are from, you know, good high schools that produce talent, it makes a lot of sense for them from a career perspective to make the jump to college. You know, Dan Dish, who was on, you know, Ron Zook's staff for a while, was a high school coach in the Jacksonville area for a long time, right? I mean, this is what big-time college football programs do, one. I think, two, the other thing you look at it is, I think Cordy Patterson in particular has a very compelling narrative given what he did at the school in St. Louis at Trinity. It was just the fact that turned them around. And I think when you have a coach that understands what that is and can come to Illinois and immediately knows what the narrative is, knows what it takes to get it done, and is a good football coach, I think it's a great hire.
Martin O'Donnell, thanks so much for your time tonight. We appreciate it, and we'll be keeping an eye on you as you get closer and closer to the season. I know you're getting anxious.
Always.
Living the dream, Martin.
Living the dream.
Just don't want to wake up.
No. That's Martin O'Donnell, former Illini football player, part of that Rose Bowl team, as we mentioned. Also now a member of the radio broadcast team with Brian Barnhart this upcoming season. Stay tuned. More sports talk coming up next. Jeff Finke, the head coach of Champaign Central High School, joins us here from Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. The watch party is next week for the NCAA tournament. Their games are on four TVs. Should be here next Thursday at 11 a.m. for the start of the NCAA tournament. Stay with us. Michael Kaiser, Matt Daniels with you from Scotty's Brewhouse.
I think that the amazing thing about him, and when he presented it to me, because I didn't want it to ever be about me asking him, when are you coming back? He just said, Coach, I want to help the team, whatever that is. Because he knows he's not at the level, especially from a conditioning standpoint, but whatever it takes for our team to win, Coach, I want to be a part of it. I'm excited for him because he's a talented player. I mean, he's a guy, I think one of the few guys in the college game that can post up effectively, can make a three-ball shot, can 80-90% free throws, can make a play off the dribble. He puts pressure on your defense, and he's an aggressive scorer.
Welcome back to Sports Talk from Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. I'm Michael Kaiser alongside Matt Daniels. That's Konzo Martin talking about the return of Michael Porter Jr. today. Didn't have a very good game in his first game back. He played 2 minutes all season, so you can understand that with a back injury. 5 of 17 from the field, 12 points. Good to see him back on the floor. Joining us now, the head coach of the Champaign Central Maroons, Jeff Finke. Tough loss the other night in double overtime, but he joins us here at Scotty's Brewhouse. Coach, good evening. How are you?
Hey, Michael. Great, thanks.
Yep, you had a couple days to kind of let that game soak in a little bit. A really difficult loss. As you take a step back now and look at it, what kind of comes to mind? And I know the game finished regulation not the way that you'd like it either.
It was tough. I mean, we led for over 31 minutes of the 32-minute game and had a couple bad plays down the end and went to overtime, had chances, and just didn't get it done. So, you know, credit to them. And it was a tough loss, and got to move on.
Yeah, young kids in high school, how difficult is it to, in a tense situation where the other team scores and you're only up two, to kind of say, hey, just hold it? How difficult is it to kind of convince kids at that age? I mean, we see it even in college.
Yeah, and we've been in that situation many times this year where tight games, good competition, and they know. We go through it in practice, but in that moment, you know, sometimes you just kind of lose it a little bit emotionally, and it's what happened. So we move forward, and you know, the kids, we start our first week of the year every year and ask them to define who they are, and this year none of our seniors, only two of our 15 guys, define themselves in any way, shape, or form as an athlete or a basketball player, and so that to us, Joshua Metcalf was speaking to our students today at Central, was his big thing is, you know, who you are determines your value and your worth, not what you do, and that's, we've preached that all year. We preach it every year. And our kids, it's hard. I lost. I remember losing. It's 32 years ago in my last game. And you'll remember it forever. But they'll move forward. They're great kids.
What have you learned in your three seasons at Central as far as your message right after the game? Has it varied at all? Or what do you kind of tell the kids in that immediate moment right after a really tough loss?
Each year I'm less prepared. This year I definitely wasn't prepared. We've had a great year. Mm-hmm. But once again, John Woods has done a great job of defining for our athletic department what our vision needs to be and what our mission is and our core values. And we talk about those so often that's really what we reflect on in the post game. And like I said, not about what you guys do as basketball players, but it's who you are as people. And, you know, it's hard for them to hear it. I mean, but it's really at the end of the day, you know, talking to our seniors the last 2 days, it's you got to move forward.
Champaign Central's got a great basketball history, one of the best in the state, considering everything that has gone on at the high school since its inception. What's it mean for you to have led the Maroons the three straight regional titles in your first three seasons?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, here again, I'm blessed with great kids that are good players. And each year we've come back and kind of reloaded. And last year, our starting five in the regional tournament, we had one guy back. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple guys, Akeon Gill and Jonte Coleman, played, mm-hmm. but they weren't starting in the regional. So we had guys step up. Those were two of them that stepped up this year to go along with Tim and some juniors that played a lot of minutes the other night. And so it's been great. But it's not coaching as much as it is just having great kids that have bought in and are starting to really, as I told our seniors, this was the year. As people told me it'd take 4 to 5 years. I felt like this year, year three, we finally have defined what our culture, what we want it to be, and our kids lived it all year long.
What was it like to coach Tim these last 3 years, going to Grand Canyon, of course? What was it like to kind of coach him, be around him the last 3 years?
You know, I've heard a lot, and I've said this before, there are a lot of coaches in the area that are blessed to coach their kids, and I've had that opportunity with him and Nick and in high school. And it's tough. I mean, this community can make it difficult on you at times with some opinions of different people and what they say, and social media gives them the opportunity in the forum. But to have a kid like Tim, I mean, as our coaches, and they've all defined it and they've said it, I mean, he is an absolute everyday guy. Tim shows up every day at practice. He competes to win every skill work, every competition we have. He wins most of our sprints. He's at the front, and he doesn't have to. A lot of the best players aren't always the hardest workers, but when he does that, he's kind of done for himself. So it's been a blessing. You know, it's kind of sad, but I'm sad to see all five of our seniors go. They're great young men.
You mentioned some of the other seniors like Akeon Gill and Jonte Coleman. Just what was it like to see them kind of take that leap that they made this year and play such a key role on your guys' success this season?
It's been awesome with Akeon and with Jonte, with Quentin Peacock and Jaden Akins, all four, along with Tim, who Tim obviously has had a lot of varsity experience for 4 years, but all of them took huge strides. And they were unified. I mean, so many Friday through Sundays, I mean, there would be at least four to six players from my team that would show up after the game and they'd leave Sunday morning. I mean, they would be there for 48 hours almost. And so they became friends, even closer than they ever were. And so just to see all of that growth throughout the year was pretty awesome.
Khalil Terry, the freshman sensation, I'll call him, the highlight reel guy.
Were you ever able to dunk like him?
Like the reverse putback slam. Really, I mean, can you do that still?
Or? I can't, and I never could. I could dunk pretty easily and had a few in a game, but nothing like him.
How often have you seen a reverse putback slam on a miss?
You don't see it very often. No. I mean, it's timing, you know, sometimes the way the ball comes off. But, yeah, Khalil has great body control. He's a great athlete, God's given him an amazing gift, and he uses it to his advantage a lot.
Were you surprised at his abilities this year, or did you expect what you got from him this year?
I coached at Champaign-Franklin for 5 years before mm-hmm. I became the Central head coach, and I actually had the opportunity to coach him 1 year. And it was really his first year to play competitive basketball. So we saw the athleticism in him. He was probably 6 foot, 6'1" at that time, maybe 5'11", whatever. But he was athletic. He grabbed the rim. He didn't quite dunk. He dunked after the season, but when any young man shows up and does what he does athletically, you go, whoa, if you haven't seen him in a couple years, and that's how long it had been since I'd seen him.
Where could he take his game? What's the areas of growth he can do, and what do you expect from him as he gets into sophomore? He's only a freshman.
Yeah, he's only a freshman. He's learning the game. Yeah. Basketball IQ is there. It's developing, especially on the defensive end. He can guard the ball, but he's learning to guard, play off the ball, rotations. Offensively, because we had so much around him, as I explained to he and his father many times, we didn't have to put pressure on him to make special plays and to bring the ball up the floor, to distribute it or to make jump shots. And I think he has it in him to develop all of that in his game over the next 3 years. And as he does that, you know, with the gift of the athleticism that he has and the body control and the timing, it's exciting to think about what he's going to become.
How's Michael progressing? I know he had a kind of a rough end of this past season with a concussion that he dealt with, but played well at Rutgers. How's he just doing right now these 2 weeks since the season?
When the season ends, you always have to assess where you were and how it was. But, yeah, Michael, a lot of things didn't get talked about with his knee and getting hit in the mouth 2 days in a row and chipping a bunch of teeth and then lacerating his tongue and then 2 days later getting a concussion, you know, playing with cortisone shots. He's actually having surgery tomorrow. On his knee, and just to clean it up, scope. Yeah, he got hurt when he was 15, and there have been loose bodies in his knee, and they did an MRI when he was a freshman when it was swelling, and nothing ever bothered him, but his knee started locking up in the United Center game against New Mexico State this year, and he had to battle that the entire season, and they just wanted to get him through and get him to where now Dr. Gertler can go in tomorrow, clean his knee up, and get him back on the court hopefully in the next month and be ready to go.
Yeah, I know that he had some good games down the stretch too. So was he starting to feel a little bit better because it's the 19 against Rutgers, or was that just a game where he just kind of adrenaline was going?
I don't know. I mean, kids, you know, men, kids, whomever, we all are products of our self-talk and what we say to ourselves. And I think, you know, this year there was a lot of that going on as the team had high hopes. And as things happen, you know, quite honestly, Michael – 5 years ago when he was recruited by Bo Ryan and Matt Painter and Mike Bray and Fran and all these other guys, you know, they recruited him to be a stretch four. He was never talked about to be a rim protector, to guard the post. Yeah. And he really, truly didn't get the opportunity to do that much this year. And I think he started overthinking. And the way that Coach Underwood plays and defensively, just the physical demands of the defensive end and then just the mental side of what am I supposed to do and thinking instead of just playing, as last year when he had a great year from three. He didn't think. He just played. And this year he thought a lot. And so we talked during his concussion time, and I think he just went out and played a lot with a lot more freedom mentally. And it showed.
Jeff Icky with us here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign, located at 2001 South Neal in Champaign. A watch party for the NCAA tournament next week. Jeff, there's a lot of transfers going on around college basketball. You know, Mark Smith already left this week. Where's Michael at it in terms of what he wants to do? He has 1 year left to play.
And yeah, great question. He, you know, Michael's been an Illini guy his whole life. He grew up, yeah. I mean, with the D. Brown jersey and, you know, when in 05 when the team went to the tournament. And so he's worked hard. He's been, as you guys have seen him on the sidelines and on the court, a leader for years and a supporter and all of that. And he's an Illini guy. But at the same time, he's going to have to evaluate it. You know, people think he's old and he's going to be so old when he graduates. He's 21 years old. He's not 22. He's not 23. He's still a young man. But he hasn't had a meeting with Coach Underwood yet. Obviously, there's a lot of conjecture out there and a lot of rumors and false stuff. I mean, I let me be on record. I'm not moving. My wife and I are not moving to Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Michael has never talked to anybody from Grand Canyon. So that's all officially. You guys can report it. Matt, you can write it tomorrow.
Right.
None of that has ever happened. What Michael decides to do, you know, he needs to meet with Coach Underwood. And just as there's been all this conjecture, you guys are reporting, you know, I mean, you want me to go down the names of Trice and Caroline and Cunningham and Walker and whomever else, the kid that's on campus now, Kane. There are a lot of bigs, you know, and I don't know that they're going to carry eight bigs. And so Michael needs to understand, and then we'll talk, because we've not had a lot of that deep talk yet, but what's the roster going to look like? What position is Michael going to play? How's he going to be utilized? He has goals to play basketball post-college. He's worked his butt off and got his degree in 7 semesters. And so holding his master's puts him in a unique position compared to most kids. But at the same time, when you sign your national letter of intent, you get 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's had his 4 years.
Yeah.
And so at this point in time, he's got to be renewed. I mean, and being real and honest, to have his fifth year. And they haven't had that conversation yet. So.
Where's he at academically? As you said, he graduated in December.
Yeah, he's in grad school.
Okay,
and don't ask me the exact name of the major, RST. But he has taken, he's finished two courses, and they started right after Christmas. So when they were doing 2 days in the off, you know, semester in early January, Michael and Laurent were in class online, and they had some demands of academics. So he's finished two. He's in one course right now and on pace to graduate with his master's a year from now.
What is next for you? I mean, you've coached your two sons here. Now they're gone. I mean, do you still want to be the central head coach moving forward?
Absolutely. Okay. Professionally, my wife and I sell real estate. We've done that for 20-plus years now. Yeah. And but I've coached for almost 15, and I've coached in the unit 4 system for 8 years. And been blessed with great kids and had a lot of success at both the junior high and the high school level. And when John Woods and I first started talking, I was interviewed when Coach McClain was hired. Mm-hmm. And at that point in the interview, I said, I want to do it 20 years. When he hired me 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I said, I'll give you the 18. And obviously, John's leaving in July, which is a big loss for our community and for our school. He's a great AD. But my desire, I've told our guys, I've got our schedule together. We're working on our summer schedule. We're going to have our postseason meetings in the next 3 weeks and our banquet on April 5th. And I'm making plans for next year.
Jeff Hickey, getting rid of all the rumors tonight in one show. Thanks so much, Jeff. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Yep. Thanks, Michael. Jeff. Thanks.
That's Champaign Central head coach Jeff Hickey. Join us on Sports Talk. Take one final timeout and come wrap up the show here on DWS. We're live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign, your home for beers, burgers, and sports. Every Thursday here at Scotty's, enjoy all day $2 well drinks, half-price cheese pizza, and $2 cans of select beers and $4 margaritas. 64 large-screen TVs, perfect for this time of year. Conference tournament action underway next week. The NCAA tournament watch party, 11 a.m. is the tip-off of those games next Thursday. And starting next Thursday, 12 wings for $12. Ed Bond Engineering out here probably thinking about having some wings next week. We'll have to see, Matt. I don't know. Ed will be here. He'll be here next week, so he might have some.
Yeah, Ed might be here all day chowing down on them.
He might.
He's got a voracious appetite.
He does. Well, some quick notes. Pittsburgh has fired Kevin Stallings after just two seasons. The Panthers went 8-24 and 0-19 this season in ACC conference play. That was not a surprise there. A really tough season for Pittsburgh and just didn't have any success out there.
Yeah, no, former Illinois State coach, Collinsville native, has had success at other stops, but for whatever reason just did not work out at Pitt.
And Bruce Weber got the win today in overtime against TCU, 66-64. Kansas State on its way back to the NCAA tournament. That's going to do it for Matt Daniels. I'm Michael Kaiser. Thanks to Jeff Finke, Champaign Central head coach. Just lost in the sectionals on Tuesday night to Landfair. Also thanks to former Illini Martin O'Donnell as well, talking some Illini spring ball. Thanks to Ed Bonner, engineer here on site at Scotty's Brewhouse. And thanks to Evan Comback at the Radio Center in downtown Champaign, the News Gazette Media Center, for producing tonight's show. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.